we come to the Word of God, and we come particularly to the Word of God about the Word of God, because we're looking at Luke chapter 8 and the parable of the sower. And I want to draw your attention to verse 18, where we read, "Take heed therefore how ye hear." And I turn to that verse because it really is the therefore. It's the motive behind the parable. The Lord Jesus is telling people to be careful, to take heed how they hear the Word of God. It's one of the best known parables, and it is all about that, how people hear the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, we know, we believe very strongly, as those that trust in the Scriptures, that every word is inspired. If we find a translation which paraphrases the Word of God, we say, well, that's interesting, but it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is the Scriptures. It is the word which God gave, which has been translated into our tongue, into many tongues, and as closely as we can tell, we have a version which sticks to the original translation, the original giving of the Word of God. And so we say that the Scriptures are the Word of God. But you know, the Word of God is also the name given to the preaching of Scripture. And in the book of Acts, which is a sort of blueprint really, we find that when the apostles spoke and they preached the gospel, they were preaching the Word of God. And it is about hearing the Word of God that this parable particularly speaks to us. The Scriptures are the Scriptures, but when it comes to hearing the gospel preached, the Lord Jesus says, take heed how you hear. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out by God, that means, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But when you listen to the sermon, if it is a faithful rendering of the Scriptures, dependent on Scripture, then you're said to be hearing the Word of God. Not just being read, but being explained, expounded, and taught. Now, not every sermon is the Word of God. There are many sermons which are the words of men, the ideas of men, the flattering of men. But where in the faithful preaching of the gospel, people hear the Word of God, that is how it's described in the Scriptures. And this parable is especially fitted to the hearing of the truth of God's Word. Now, the setting is important. It's there in chapter 8, and it says, now it came to pass afterward. And we've learnt over the last few weeks that Luke doesn't always put everything in strict chronological order. Sometimes he takes something because it's of a certain subject and he gives it a place before or after. But one thing we can say is that this parable, it came after the events of chapter 7, where we have the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with precious ointment. So it was after that. It was later. It was also a time of great activity. The Lord Jesus was becoming intensely popular. We read that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The gospel, the good news. Oh, what good news it is. People don't see it as that. People think we're trying to spoil their fun, take away their pleasure. But the preaching of the Word of God is telling people wonderful news. Oh, if only people would see that this is the most wonderful news. Perhaps they need to realize the bad news before they can see the good news. The bad news of what we've done to ruin ourselves, to bring ourselves into judgment. And then the good news would be appreciated more. The glad tidings of the kingdom of God. He had the 12 with him, and also certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary Magdalene, out of whom Jesus cast 7 devils, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others, we read. Many others. There were many women that followed the Lord Jesus Christ around and ministered we're told they ministered unto him of their substance. These were many of them well endowed with this world's goods, but they gave it because of their conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in verse 4, when much people were gathered together, they would come to him out of every city. He spake by a parable. So it was a time of great activity. He preached the most wonderful message, and now he sees all these people, a variety of hearers. Much people out of every city came to hear the word of God. They would have included all sorts of hearers, all sorts of people with different attitudes, and the Lord Jesus addressed them. And as he addressed them, he knew that this crowd would go away, and they would have been affected by what he said in a number of possible ways. And he gives four ways, three of which are rather negative, three of which don't leave you any hope for the hearers. I'm sure the reason for this parable was that the inner knowledge that the Lord Jesus possessed saw these people as they really were, and he knew that as he spoke to them, the smiles on their faces or the happy reception of some of the things he said didn't actually tell very much. He knew that inside they were either the pathway ground or the shallow ground or the thorny ground or in some cases the good ground. It's as though he's saying, you're listening, but are you really listening? Take heed how you hear. So he's speaking in this rather fundamental parable of a sower. And the sower represents himself and all those to whom he would communicate and commit and commission to preach the word of God. All who declare the word of God as it is, in spirit and in truth, they are the sowers. There is a sower, a divine sower, the Lord, and he uses sub-sowers, if you like, those who preach the word of God. And the seed, he explains, the seed is the word of God. Now, the sower didn't make the seed. It was not manufactured. It's a most suitable analogy, the seed. You know, you can go to a garden centre and you can buy all manner of seeds in garden centres these days to grow anything in your garden if the weather's right for it. But the garden centre can't tell you they made this seed in their own workshops, because you can't make seed. So the word of God, nobody sat down and manufactured it. It wasn't given by personal inspiration. It was given by divine inspiration. It wasn't given by the imagination of man, but holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the things that God told them. It's all of God, and it's the means whereby God gives life to the spiritually dead. That is the seed, and that is what seed is, isn't it? It's that which goes into the ground and dies, and then it germinates and brings forth fruit. So there are different types of ground into which the seed would be cast, and there are different types of hearers. And I'm not sure if it's right to say that these four represent the whole world, that you fit into one or another of these four, whether there's a fifth or a sixth, I can't imagine. But these four do seem to cover just about every possible hearer that we can imagine. So you have this sower. He's a man who carried a sort of sack, I presume. The pictures in the children's Bibles have a huge haversack and a strap over the shoulder so that he can reach in, and as he walks in straight lines up and down his field, he takes handfuls of seed and he casts them to the left, in front of him, and to the right. And he scatters them on the field as he walks. Jesus said that some fell on the wayside. Now, the wayside was the pathway. Through these fields, there was right of way, and as there is in many places today, a right of way, and there's a pathway. And you might find a notice if you go on a walk through the country, please stick to the pathway. Farmers don't want you trudging down their corn and their wheat They want you to stick to the pathway. Well, as the man was going out, scattering his seed, some fell on the pathway. And it was trodden down. The pathway was already trodden down before he scattered his seed there. And he wouldn't deliberately have thrown his seed on the pathway, but he scattered it wherever it went, and some fell on the pathway. And it bounced 3 or 4 times on the hard pathway. And the fowls of the air, who follow the sower wherever he goes, they devoured the seed. And then some fell upon a rock, verse 6. It doesn't mean, of course, that it fell upon a solid rock. It means a shallow layer of earth covering a rocky, invisible, below the surface shelf. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And verse 8, happily, other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And verse 8, when he had said these things, he cried. He proclaimed, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He's urging the people who represented all 4 different types of pathway to listen. Verse 9, this disciples came to him and said, "Well, what might this parable be?" They didn't understand it. You and I understand it because we've heard it so many times, and it's been clearly explained to us, and Jesus explains it in the verses to follow. But they didn't get it. They didn't see what this sower and the pathway really meant. Why was Jesus talking about a man scattering seed on the pathway, shallow ground, thorny ground, and good ground? So they said, "What might this parable be?" And he answered, "Unto you it is given to understand. Unto others, the parable will be just confusing. It will they'll see and they won't understand. A parable divides. If you're given spiritual discernment, then you can see it. If you're not given that spiritual discernment, it'll just confuse you." And so he speaks about the pathway hearer, or the wayside. The explanation to the 4 types of ground, found in verses 5, 6, 7 and 8, the explanation is to be found in verses 12, 13, 14 and 15. And it's the explanation which the Lord Jesus himself gives. Now, if we're correct, and Jesus could see that these 4 types of ground represented the people in front of him, the crowd, who were listening to him, we might ask the question, well, why would the pathway hearers be there at all? Why would they come along? They're totally disinterested. And there are many possible reasons. Maybe they were bored. There wasn't much to do. And maybe they saw the excitement of people going, following the Lord Jesus, and they said, "Well, we'll go along as well. Maybe it'll be something that can bring some light to our darkness, or at least some interest to our dull lives." There were those that just went because they were bored or curious. There were those that said, "Well, there's something going on here, because look at all these people who are coming and listening, and many of them, their lives are being changed." And then also, there were some who could see the miracles. They could see that the blind were being made to see, and they thought, "Well, this is Pharisees never do that, and Sadducees, they don't believe anything. Why, we should go along and just listen to what this man has to say. It'll be interesting." And there were others who were just dragged along. You know, the way that you say to somebody, "Go on, come to church, come to the gospel, just come once." And there were some that said, "Oh, I'll come along, just because you've invited me over and over and over again, I'll come along." They were dragged along. And some wanted entertaining. Well, who is the wayside hearer? This is the person who simply will not take in the message. He just won't believe it. She'll say, "Well, I'll come to church to please you, but I'm not going to be convinced." And they come determined not to be convinced. This is the person who just cannot take the matter of their soul's eternal destiny seriously. They don't want to. They want to bury their heads in the sand. There were people impressed by the healing miracles, by the interesting way that Jesus spoke, by his illustrations, but they had impenetrable hearts. There was a man we read about earlier on, Jehoiakim, who was the king in Jerusalem from 609 BC to 597 BC, when many of the Jews were taken into captivity. So he was the king. He was the son of a wonderful king, Josiah, who loved the word of God. And in his kingdom, there was one of the most faithful preachers of the word of God that ever there has been. In the whole of scripture, a man called Jeremiah, great hero of mine, reading through, because his task was the most difficult. He had to tell people they were definitely going to be judged, and they just had to personally repent, but there was no way that their nation could be saved. They were going to be taken by the Babylonians. Here was Jeremiah, and God spoke to Jeremiah and gave him a strong message, and by and large, the hierarchy said, no, he's a traitor, because he's saying we're going into captivity. And they took him and they threw him in a pit. They confined him to prison. He was confined to his quarters when Jeremiah 36, the events there take place. He wasn't allowed to go out and preach. So when God wanted to speak through him, he had to call Baruch to write down on a scroll. It's called a roll, but we know it to be a scroll. And you would have to unwrap it to pull it out in order to read what was said. And as you pulled it out, obviously part of it would overlap your hand, and you would pull it until you'd read the whole scroll. So he then sent Baruch to read the stinging warnings that God had given in the temple in the ears of all Judah on a feast day, a special fast day. It may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord and turn from their evil ways, for great is his anger. The Lord's concern, Jeremiah's concern, was that people might just listen and repent and be personally saved, even though the nation was destined to go into captivity. So Baruch went, he did all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him. And a man called Micaiah heard these serious warnings from the Lord, and he went and told the princes, these were noblemen, all that he had heard from Baruch. And Baruch was summoned, read it to us. And the result was, they were afraid. When they heard the word of God, they trembled. They were afraid. How did you get these words? And Baruch replied, Jeremiah pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink. And then they advised Baruch to go and hide with Jeremiah, because the implications of what he'd said were far-reaching. And they hid the scroll in the chamber of the scribe, and they went and told King Jehoiakim, who was, after all, not only the king, he was meant to be the spiritual leader of the people as well. And the king sent Yehudi to fetch the roll, or the scroll, containing God's words. And it was that time of year, he had a winter house with a fire burning on the hearth. Yehudi sat with him and read from the scroll. So he would pull a little bit out and read it. And then he would pull another little bit out. And the king said, just a minute. And he took his penknife, opened it, and then cut. And just idly dangled it over the flames and burnt it in the fire. Read on. And he read some more, and he would hold him up, cut it with his knife, and burn it in the fire. And he did that till Baruch, till Yehudi had read the whole scroll. And Yehudi sat with him and read from the scroll. And he only read like three or four paragraphs, and the king leaned forward and cut it with his penknife and calmly burnt it in the fire. Here was a man who was a wayside hearer. He heard the word of God, and it mattered nothing to him, even though the content was that which caused fear to enter into some of his counterparts. He kept cutting and burning the pages till the whole was consumed. None of them were afraid, those that were with him, or rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants. But there were three men, Elnathan, Deliah, and Jemariah, who begged the king not to burn the scroll. Why did they do that? Well, because they realized that this was the word of God. This was something which you can't just ignore. The king, he's the wayside hearer. He's the pathway. He's determined he won't listen. Jesus described the pathway or wayside hearer as those who hear the word of God, but the birds snatch it away. The seed is snatched away by the birds. The devil comes and takes away the word of God. You hear great things when you come to church and you hear the gospel. No matter who the preacher is, you hear wonderful things, but if your mind is so hardened against it, it's easy for the devil just to come and snatch those words away, words which would come to you on Tuesday or Wednesday and remind you that you have a soul, an eternal destiny. You have a God to face, but already the birds have snatched the seed away. The devil has taken the word away. Who are we likely to be? These today's wayside pathway hearers. The birds of the air easily snatch the seed away. It just bounced two or three times on the ground, and it was because the ground was trodden down. So many people's hearts are impervious, impenetrable, because they've been programmed not to believe. They've been brainwashed not to listen. They're told, and they've believed it, that there were these strange gases floating around in the big nowhere, and they collided and banged, and now we're a few million years later, we've got sophisticated people with brains and amazing abilities which have come out of it. Whoever would believe such a thing? Well, the wayside hearer, because they're prejudiced against the truth. And there's an old saying, if you won't believe the gospel, you will believe almost anything else. People, like any sort of fancy idea, but they won't accept the truth. And people will lose any shame that they ever feel, even for a moment. The gospel, but I would love to give up my sins, but then I believe something else is more important, which doesn't require me to repent. And then there is the shallow ground. These are the people we would call the uncommitted. Obviously, the sower didn't literally throw seed onto a rock. There was a shallow layer of soil on top of a concealed shelf of rock. Matthew describes it as stony places where there was not much earth. It wasn't bad soil, but it was shallow soil with no hope of the seed sinking in deep and taking in moisture. Consequently, the corn sprang up much faster than the other grounds. Jesus said, these sort of hearers receive the word with joy. Oh, they're happy because they hear that part of the gospel which makes you happy. You can be full of joy. You can have eternal life. You can join a lovely community. And they believe it, but when things get hard and the sun comes out and starts to scorch it, they fall away. I went years ago to watch a film. It was a Billy Graham film, and it was very emotional. And I went forward at the end of this film, converted, of course, wonderfully. No, not at all. Counseled, went home happy, full of expectation. I was complete, converted at last. But I hadn't repented. I hadn't turned to the Lord. I hadn't really understood the commitment. I was uncommitted, and the first pub I passed the next day, I gave in and went back to my old ways. This person accepts the Lord with glee at the promise of forgiveness, but it's shallow. This is the ground of no depth, no commitment, no real repentance. In a sense, King Herod was a bit like that. He went to hear the word of God from the lips of John the Baptist. He heard John gladly after he put him in prison. He heard him gladly. That's like hearing the word of God with joy. He heard him gladly. He feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. He observed him when he heard him. And then we read, he did many things. He tried to work his way to heaven, but he wouldn't repent. He wouldn't give up his sin. It was skin deep. And then some fell among thorns, where the seed was choked in amongst the thorns, the thistles, we would say, that grew in the ground there. And growing up with that, the seed was choked. And that's the person who is choked with the cares and riches of this world. It's the person who sees a need, but ultimately other matters are more important and take precedence over the need to be saved. The double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You think you can have Christ and your sin. Two systems, double-minded mind, double-minded man. Two systems growing alongside each other. And then the good ground. Oh, we praise God that we've got a few minutes to speak about the good ground. It wasn't good ground naturally. This wasn't good ground which had always been good. It was prepared ground. It was cleared. This ground probably did have thorns and thistles and stone under the surface, but it had been cleared. Somebody had taken the trouble to clear it. This is the person that the Lord has dealt with. You know, before you came to Christ, God was at work in your heart. God was preparing the way for the Word of God. Otherwise, you would never have received it, would you? It's only because God was altering your circumstances. He was bringing about things happening in your life. He was causing there to be a pandemic that would give you some fear, some urgency. He was bringing about people in your life who impressed you, and you thought about it and you realized that they had something you didn't have. God was making the ground good. It wasn't naturally good, and it brought forth fruit. That's what happens, isn't it? Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't that what we pray for? That the Lord will prepare people's hearts, people that we know, prepare their hearts, bring them to that point where they will listen, come and hear the word of God. Oh, how we pray that our husbands, our wives, our parents, our children, our neighbours will have that work done in their hearts whereby the ground is made good to hear the word of God. So there are four types of ground. Are you one of them? Have you been brainwashed? Are you shallow? Do you still have your eyes very much on this world and on popularity? Or have you repented and come to the Lord and asked him to truly save you? The parable of the sower has so much to say. Take heed how you hear.